This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Before he was fired, James Comey privately told colleagues he considered Donald Trump to be outside the realm of normal and crazy. And in fairness, Trump upped the ante and called Comey a nut job. The mental state of the president has been much debated on op-ed pages and at dinner tables across the country. But the people who are most qualified to pass judgment on anybody's mental state generally abstain from the discussion. In fact, it's a professional obligation that they do. And sometimes that hurts.
When I got my license to practice medicine, I didn't realize it, but there are also some personal freedoms that I may have given up as a person to express their opinion as a psychiatrist as opposed to as a person. I think that's not something I understood.
The American Psychiatric Association's Code of Ethics, Section 7.3, tells its members not to diagnose public figures from afar. The rule is known as the Goldwater Rule for, you guessed it, Barry Goldwater. During the 1964 election, more than 1,000 psychiatrists signed a statement in a magazine declaring Goldwater psychologically unfit to be president. After he lost the election to Lyndon Johnson in a landslide, Goldwater won a libel suit against the magazine where the statement was first published, and the APA decided to get out of politics for good. But psychiatrists faced with an unprecedented personality in the White House right now are debating the Goldwater rule once again.
Our whole struggle with Section 7.3 is about finding the language that permits us to give voice to our thoughts without running astray of our principle.
Jane Mayer, a staff writer at The New Yorker, recently went to a meeting of the Washington, D.C. branch of the American Psychiatric Association to hear how this debate is playing out.
So I went to this conference. It was actually kind of a intramural debate that took place at George Washington University.
We're good? Yep. Okay, so with that, I will say good evening to you. And welcome to this forum, sponsored jointly.
And it was a gathering, really, of the Washington area's psychiatrists who got together on a weeknight and crowded into a small lecture hall under fluorescent lights. I mean, it had a little bit of a feeling of a group therapy session.
And we're in a political situation right now that I find inconsistent with living in a democracy. What do I do with that?
To me, it was interesting, since often psychiatrists just sit there keeping their counsel, so they're silently taking notes, and you never know what they think. So I was very curious to see what it's like when they get together and they actually speak out among each other.
I figured out how Kellyanne Conway manipulates interviewers, and having been someone, and I'm not diagnosing her, who does a lot of work with borderlines. I realized she used a particular form of a projective identification, and I described...
So the Goldwater Rule was written in order to try to repolish the profession of psychiatry.
If a patient sees their own psychiatrist in the media making diagnoses or loosely making opinions about individuals for whom they may not have examined, what does that say about the way in which we take care of our patients?
I mean, there were some people who felt that there's a bigger issue than one's allegiance to the American Psychiatric Association's ethical code.
I happen to think that I'm not troubled by the Goldwater rule in this case. I think that
there was one in particular I thought who was very articulate on this position. There's a psychiatrist named John Zinner from the Washington area.
My patients are not coming to me and saying, please don't say anything about Mr. Trump because we'll feel stigmatized by that. My patients are coming saying, I can't sleep. I'm worried about this guy. What is he going to do? I happen to think in violation of the Goldwater rule, but as a responsibility of mine to society, that he has an extremely primitive character pathology that endangers us all. A president could push the button all by himself or herself legally. And I think it's very important for the public to know, through the lack of caring and lack of capacity for empathy, impulsivity, lying, untrustworthiness of President Trump, that we're endangering ourselves by allowing him to control that button. And I think we need to understand Trump's psychology to do something about that and put in place some kind of system to prevent him from pulling the trigger.
The meeting began with many of the critics of the Goldwater rule speaking most passionately. But the evening ended with those who had concerns about what would happen if they overturned it speaking up. I mean, one of the psychiatrists that actually I felt changed some of the thinking in the room during this debate was a psychiatrist named Saul Levin. And he kind of issued a warning saying, you know, it's going to make it hard for me to deal with things like the payments I negotiate with the government if you all are going to be saying that the president is nuts.
We have a new payment system. There are going to be a lot of discussion, as though we know already what some of the plans are, in terms of what are going to be the reimbursement rates of you, sir, in private practice. You know, what is going to be your reimbursement rate?
It kind of quieted the room down a little bit. It brought it to us a little bit more of a practical level.
If I'm not at that table, or we're not at that table, and some of you sitting in this room, who is going to argue for the psychiatrist? We know what happens.
Mark Comrade was one of the late speakers in the evening, and he stood up and said, you know, many people in this country already think that psychiatry is really not a science.
One of the very common ideas that I have to deal with is people feeling like we're not a legitimate profession, and maybe even worse, that what psychiatrists are about is promulgating a specific worldview, a certain concept of mental health, which has political overtones. We, you know, feel things like masturbation is healthy. So we're already suspect as peddlers of a liberal progressive agenda if we go out and make pronouncements on Donald Trump's psychology. I don't think we gain anything. I don't think minds are changed. And in fact, you know, you don't need a doctor to tell you that the guy who's coughing and hacking and sneezing on the plane is sick.
No time soon. Bless you.
The mini crisis in the psychiatric profession reflects the larger crisis in the country, where people are grasping for some kind of answers that make sense of how we ended up with a president who is so outside of the mold of all the presidents we've had before. And psychiatrists are trying to see, can we offer something? Can we shed some light on this too?
Staff writer Jane Mayer in Washington, D.C. We heard members of the D.C. branch of the American Psychiatric Association.